actually okay for now.
I'm good, thank you.
Sure?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
You guys sit and sing something real quick so I can tell what's going on.
Okay. Do a little acapella.
Acapulco.
There are stars in the southern skies. Southward as you go. Do something a little more familiar.
and play some instruments so I can tell where the mix is.
I took
my
okay.
Vince Gill.
Should be fun.
You guys.
Vince Gill's pretty amazing.
Those guys.
Nice.
You know, it's not
I
the Eagles though anymore. It's not the Eagles. It's
I'm always
it's something different.
Gill,
you
want us to do a whole like all of us just vocals?
Yeah,
just
do something
acapella?
That uses everything.
Okay.
The instruments.
Do you need us to come closer together? Is this my good like?
We're gonna
pick
it out.
I think it should pick it up. This is on full circle.
Awesome. Oh, cool. Then join on in, man.
Yeah, I will.
Let's do good to me. Or dwell in the house.
I will dwell in the
that's the wrong key.
Oh. Well, my guests today, plural, hope you got that, S on the end of that. I had some teeth taken out, so I can't make an S too well.
Looks good, by the way.
Yeah.
It's less weight to carry around.
My guests today is called Two or More. They're brothers, and there's more than two because there's three of them. They're in my house today to fellowship around what the Lord has done in our lives, and I'm so pleased you're all here.
Oh,
thanks
you.
For coming.
Thanks oh, for brother, thanks for having us. This is a blessing, yeah.
Likewise, Terry. And just right off the bat, man, I, for one, am really inspired. Like I shared with you in El Paso a few
yes.
weeks back, just the ministry that you have had for all these years, I mean, has impacted us tremendously.
Yes.
And I, I'm not trying to flatter you, but I just want you to know that the Lord has used you, bro, and Nancy, tremendously in our lives, just as a role model. And your music is great, your talent is great, but it's just your heart for the Lord and your ministry, and I'm glad that the Lord has it out there for us to be able to glean from. So
I've appreciated having the chance to be with you guys, because that hasn't really happened a whole lot.
Right, yeah. But nothing
and,
but a few times.
And so the time in El Paso was a great reunion,
yes.
basically,
yeah,
and a good time that we could eat and laugh and
that's right,
eat and
laugh
and laugh,
you know, it's awesome to
worship the Lord together.
Yeah, that's right,
and so
yeah,
it was really great to do that, and it became clear that we needed to do this. We needed
yeah.
to get our lives opened up
right.
because what we're doing is what you said, we're promoting Jesus
absolutely
and showing how he works by just telling our story. And people aren't reading their Bibles much, it seems like, because they don't have the full story to see how God deals with human beings, and
right.
and it doesn't matter who it is, it's we're all the same.
Well, you bring right. up a really good point about just getting to know each other through this short time here. This is a great ministry, because you're right, the 20 or 30 minutes on stage, they get a version of you. They get to see kind
yeah.
of like what you maybe summarize a little bit of what you're about. But
yeah.
but this is great, because we do get to share a little more in depth and talk a little bit about, you know, we're one familia, man. We're going through this stuff together. This life, this journey, and this is a
yeah.
great ministry, man.
And most
awesome.
Of the time, the people don't feel like they're part of something else. They right. feel isolated because yeah. that's the trick.
Yeah.
That's the only trick the devil's got is isolation. Right. So if he can get, if he can keep the body isolated and let them sit in their pew, mm. come to church, but protect their personal sovereignty.
Yeah, their safe zone, right.
Then the devil doesn't have to worry about them. They're not going to be trouble.
Yeah.
But once they realize that we're part of a family and actually an organism where we are parts, we're Jesus' body parts.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're boots on the ground
yes.
on the planet
mm-hmm.
where he can walk in our shoes
mm-hmm.
where he wants to go
that's right.
and talk to the people he wants to talk to.
Right.
So I know that's been happening in your lives for a long time. Not quite as long as ours, but yeah, I've got you by a few years.
Oh yeah, you do. I remember in El Paso, we were talking about, you know, well, you know, ever since we got saved, we heard Terry, Nancy, Clark, and we kept hearing the name. And so I think we did the math, and I think they said when we first kind of got saved and came out, and 26 years ago, you'd already been on the scene for, I don't know, a few years, you know, 10, 15 years or something, or maybe longer?
It was more like 30.
Yeah, okay, 30. Yeah. I didn't want to say
that. I think he asked me that
yeah,
question.
I was well, curious because I just kind of like to see the timeline.
Yeah.
You know, kind of see where are you now and where was I then and just to see what God has done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know what? Honestly, just to see how you're still being faithful to that call.
Absolutely.
You know, mm-hmm. you're still playing, you get behind a keyboard and you play in front of, 20 people, just like you would with 20,000 people.
And music,
and that means absolutely. A lot. That means a lot to us, okay?
Yeah,
because we've seen them all, and we've played with them all.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we've been in all those situations. And for us, it's a gut check.
Yeah.
Why am I here? Why
mm-hmm.
am I playing?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, why is he doing it? He's my mentor. What's he doing? Well,
yeah.
that guy's following Jesus. He's
that's
playing
right.
his little keyboard, even though it's
right.
distorting through the little.
Regardless,
he doesn't care because his eyes are closed and he's singing to an audience of one. But you
yeah.
know that. That really encourages us.
It really does.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. And we hope that the people are listening to this would be encouraged to know that we're here to point them,
yeah.
not to a band,
exactly.
not to a ministry, but to Christ alone. And hopefully the ministry and the band is fun. Hopefully it's exciting and engaging and it appeals
yeah.
to the senses. But more importantly, man, we just want them to see Jesus.
Absolutely.
Right.
Well, I have a couple of just leading questions. The first one is, your paths are going to be unique from each other. Spiritually,
mm-hmm.
even though a lot of it you were physically, geographically together,
mm-hmm.
there's different things going on in all three of you because we're all unique.
Mm-hmm.
He's made us very specifically, and he has specific things that he has done to bring us to where specifically we're supposed to be and equip us in a certain way
mm-hmm.
for the people that we are going to affect. We're not for everybody. Jesus is for the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
But we're for specific people.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that early on, and it was a great revelation and a relief inside because
that's powerful,
being dude. For the whole world is a big job.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of people think they're doing that, but
wow.
they just crash and burn
yeah.
eventually. So why don't you guys just take it for a little bit and one at a time kind of give the inside of your relationship with the Lord and where it started and how it's progressed
mm-hmm.
along the way.
Okay. Maybe we should go in chronological order as to how each one of us came to faith.
I would think so. That way it's kind of
yeah.
time,
it leads that
timeline.
Way.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Pretty cool to see what Jesus has done through these three brothers here. I'm the youngest of the three brothers, Mom Renato, Aguas, and I gave my life to Jesus in 1992. And I was sort of like the more rebellious of the three brothers. I had a little more, I don't know, I guess I fell down a little more, a little harder. The Lord had to get my attention through some circumstances that were, you know, maybe a little more harsh than maybe other people.
Isn't it great the Lord loves hard heads?
he does.
We're sitting here proof of it, that's
yeah.
true.
Yeah. Yes, I gave my life to Christ. I was the first of the three brothers. But for me, I think one of the most interesting things God has done with me is to just help me realize all these years to see that, you know, we're all a specific tool in the tool belt, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I was always the kind of person, I've always been the kind of person that I kind of like the the ringleader. I like to come up with ideas. I like to have the vision and keep things moving, and in some ways almost take the role of like maybe like the way the architect would in a design of something. You know, kind of he mastercrafts it and gets this plan going. Yeah. And the Lord had to get my attention and continues to get my attention daily to remind me, you're not the architect.
Yeah.
You're a tool in the tool belt.
And sounds familiar.
I have a plan.
Yeah.
I have a perfect plan. The blueprint has been set. You don't need to mess with that. And I think that's sort of the summation of my life. That's sort of been the continuing thing with me, is always to remember that that tool belt can be pretty extravagant. You can have a lot of stuff in it. I mean, a lot of different specific items that can handle, from pounding a nail to removing the nail to cutting a wire to making sure something's level to making sure things are chalked out, whatever it might be. I'm sure there's more. I'm not in the construction world, but I know there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But I have to remember that I am a tool. In literally a tool. Look, don't make any jokes out of that one.
No, I'm going there.
But in all of us, respectively, I think it's a really good thing to be reminded that there's an awesome plan that the Lord has already. Mm-hmm. It's already done. If we can just learn to humble ourselves, to surrender, to recognize what tool you are, and be that best tool you can possibly be. Now, I also believe in. And we all agree that we'd like to become the best tool we can possibly be. You know, I don't want to be that one that I get it. You know, if with music, I don't want to get that Radio Shack, you know, cheap microphone. Sorry if you're a Radio Shack person, you're listening to this, but I'm going to try to be the best microphone I can be for the Lord. But it's always been a struggle for me. That's always been a tough one for me, to find out where excellence is versus where the architect begins. You know, I can't step into that realm. That's always been a struggle for me, and I continue to pray that the Lord would just help me to remember that.
How does He help you in those situations? What can you remember a situation where that became kind of critical mass, and you had to learn it?
I think for me, it usually when I get into a situation where I become a small fish in a big pond type situations. Okay, like for example, when we do our normal thing, you know, we go to a little church and we sing or we play or whatever, and we're in our element, and people are like, wow, look what you're doing, this is great. I tend to, that feeds that.
Yeah.
That thing of me wanting to grab things more. But then we'll be called to do like a harvest crusade or something. Mm-hmm. I remember that was one of the first times I remember walking in there, like a bigger event, or Promise Keepers or something. Yeah. And I realize, I don't know Jack. These guys have a big vision, a big plan, and I'm just a little piece of this. Those humbling moments, whenever we've done like maybe part of a big conference or something, I get around people that I really admire. Those are the moments that the Lord has used for me the most, for me to just remember, you're a piece of sandpaper. You know, and you know what? Those people, they're another tool.
Yeah.
But ultimately,
yeah.
The Lord is in charge. But those situations, bro, those are the ones that nail me hardest. If I can sum up just my personal little thing on this, would be humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. You know, that's probably my ultimate favorite lyric of all time.
Yeah.
Because it hurts the most, yet it comforts me the most.
Well, it definitely is the medicine we have to take to overcome.
Yeah.
And we don't understand the physics of that. That's the problem with it. We don't understand how does that work. Well, how did the cross work? It works just like that. Lay your life down and lean down to the lowest shelf to get the greatest treasures. So any other personal encounter that happened at pivotal moments that you remember?
Well, I mean, it goes on even in my personal life.
Yeah. You know, marriage
with my family. Yeah, that's exactly
a big college education there.
That's exactly where I was headed, man. Not even just in marriage, just my wife and I both have just been blown away by how the Lord uses our children, even to just humble us out, you know, just because, you know, having the title dad and mom doesn't make you right.
Yeah.
You know, and we try, we do our very best, but that's another thing. And as the kids get older, you know, my oldest now is engaged to being married. She's 22 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I think she's turned 23. I don't know. If she hears that, she's going to kill me.
But,
but you know, it's crazy. And so she's beginning to make her own decisions. And what dad has to say is more just, what do you think about this? Now,
yeah.
I'm not, you know, pouring out all my knowledge, so to speak, quote unquote, on her. My son's second year at college now at UCI, and he's one of those high-minded chemistry guys. And they humble me out. The Lord continues to show me that, you know, I'm their father. I'm the one with the infinite knowledge, and they need to come to me to really figure these weighty issues of life.
Mm-hmm.
You can do the best you can, son. And he loves me through it. But I, to answer that question, my my family, my wife, my kids, big time.
Yeah. Well, it's great. It's great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good principles.
But here's the thing about that. We get humbled. We get broken down.
That's right.
And then what's the next part of that lyric? And he will lift you up. So here we go. Okay, this is where...
But it's not like you expect.
Oh, no. I show this all the time. It's this is... That's the key.
Mm-hmm.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. Break down. Humble yourself to the point to where you realize this is not about you.
That's right.
Then he will lift you up. When I stand before people, I'm getting to a point in my life, I think in our ministry with music, when I stand before an audience and I hold a microphone, I hold my head up high now,
mm-hmm.
but not in the way I used to when I was in my
20s.
Yeah. It's different. I hold my head up in the confidence of the Lord because
mm-hmm.
There's been enough cavities in my life,
mm-hmm.
so to speak, and they've been filled. The fillings are good, and it's filled with the power, the direction, and the comfort of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So when I do stand, I can stand boldly and unashamed, but it's perceived. I even sense, and I know that this is because of the Lord is lifting me up now. Let me show you who he is. You know,
I think that calls for a song, don't you?
Man, I was just thinking that right now.
Yeah.
Segues right into it.
Yeah, just just let that ring for folks what's being said, and give them time to let it sink in listening to a song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's do a song called Good to Me.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a great tune. This is actually
it's fitting.
Just an inventory, a song that helps us to remember that regardless of what we can accumulate or what we can do, you know, possessions we can get in this world, things that maybe are made by human hands, they can only do so much. Then the Lord has to take it from there because all that stuff is just happiness.
Yeah.
And happiness is good, but joy is better. Amen.
You have been good to me.
in the light of your love I can see. You have been good to me. You have been good to me. You sure have been good to me. In the light of your love I can see. You have been good to me. You have been good to me. You have been good to me.
Oh yeah, he's been good, that's for sure.
Even through the disciplining, right?
Yeah, and he's, I like to remember, too, it helps me to remember that he's the one that knows the definition for good. His definitions are the ones I've learned. I've got to stick to those. And he's the one with the definition, the true definition of what's good.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we haven't got the same feeling about what he's doing. And so it's good to remember that whatever's happening, he means for our good, and that's what faith does.
He's in control of it all, man.
Yeah.
And good is good enough, bro. I'm the kind of person, we were talking earlier about the caffeine thing. I don't do caffeine. I'm just too wired. And I'm kind of animated. I gotta, you know, use big words to describe. You gotta just, you know, God is good.
This song
shuts me up.
Yeah.
It just helps me to tell people, God is good.
Keeping it simple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't say more than that.
Simple is good for us. And he made the gospel simple, or we wouldn't have ever gotten it. Because we like to complicate everything.
Oh,
yes, sir.
So who's next in the chronology here?
Well, this is Eddie. And
Hi, Eddie.
Hi. I'm the middle brother, so I get the
squashed.
Yeah, I get squashed. you know, you just said the word faith, and I think that to me is something that was kind of pivotal. I think in my early days of you know, coming to the Lord and still misusing that word faith, you know, because I'd come out of the world and, you know, you hear that all the time. You hear even nowadays, you hear the word have faith, and it was probably not until maybe a year or so after I got saved and I'd come to the Lord and, you know, it started to reveal, you know, those terms in on his terms, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the word faith to me, I used to think, oh, I just have faith that I can, I'll have this someday. It could be a car, it could be a guitar, or it could be a home or whatever. And so, and just people misusing that term and you know, until I finally kind of figured out, well, that's not what it means.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're putting faith in something. You know, you're putting it in an object.
Yeah.
You know, and especially something that's going to deteriorate, something that's going to fade away. You know, that kind of put eternity into perspective.
Yeah.
You know, so I think the way that ties in with eternity is amazing. You know, and having faith in what, you know, faith needs to be in Jesus. You know,
mm-hmm.
in what he
yeah.
did. You know, what he did for us. And I think that was a big turnaround.
Mm-hmm.
When I finally kind of understood that and grasped that concept, was it's faith in the Lord, not faith in what you think, you know, or
yeah.
what people think, you know.
Right.
So that was kind of a big turning point for me, and even now, you know, sometimes I, you know, I'll think those things like faith. Well, have faith, you know, in certain things, and I remember that day. I just remember that day when it finally just hit me, and that's
mm-hmm.
a good reminder for me now, you know, when I start
yeah.
even to go down that path.
So that's a flag
yeah.
in the road.
It is.
You
it
can
is.
Always
yeah.
look back at.
Absolutely, yeah. So that to me is a big one. And then I was talking about eternity, you know, just it finally hit me too. Well, you know, we grew up in going to church, you know, Catholic church, you know, and we learned a lot of the, you know, the basics and having, I think, having unhealthy fear, maybe, you know, of who God was, and, you know, until I got saved, and then that was another thing he threw at me too, is, you know, having fear in him, you know, a healthy fear, not a fear where you know he's pointing down at you and mm-hmm. you know you're gonna go to you know where if you don't you know this and that. It's he's a perfect gentleman. You know he's not gonna force you. You know love is something that you can't force on somebody.
That's right.
And when I finally just knew he loved me. You know and I just felt this spirit. You know and his spirit. You know. Just in me, you know, and just feeling that he really does love me. You know, he cares for me, wow. and when I grasped that, I finally thought, well, gosh, you have a fear for the Lord, but not in the way I thought. You know,
right.
It's more of a healthy fear.
You just don't want to displease him, or
yeah,
or
you don't want to grieve. You don't
that
want
trivial.
Absolutely, I just heard Pastor Chuck teach a message on that. I was listening to the blue. I love the Blue Letter Bible. Mm-hmm. And that was just, I can't remember what scripture was. It was like I met him about a month ago. But he said that when I was a kid, I was afraid that God wanted to hurt me when I was a little boy. Mm-hmm. He was just waiting for me to do something bad so he can hurt me.
Yeah, because the nun will.
Yeah, that ruler comes out, man.
That's right. And then he's like, that's not the fear that the Bible is talking about. And now that I know the Lord, my fear is that I'm going to hurt him.
That's it.
My fear is I'm going to hurt
that
him.
That is a holy fear.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's a great.
Yeah. So, but anyhow, that's my two cents.
So how did the Catholic thing transfer into a personal thing? Was it those steps that you're talking about there?
It was just wanting to. I felt the Lord revealing things to me that nuggets, these gold nuggets. Mm-hmm. That where have they been? You know, if I would have just cracked open the Bible, a little more, spent more time in prayer, which is a big thing. You know, I'm not talking just like a praying for things that you want.
Yeah,
but just being thankful, just throughout the day. You know, just stop and just pray and thank Him. Be thankful. You know, not just when we need something or we're going through something. You know, but and I heard this preacher one time say, I rarely go. 3 minutes. I rarely pray for longer than 3 or 4 minutes, but I rarely go 3 or 4 minutes without praying. So it's like you're always in throughout the day. You know, just thank you, Lord, just for whatever. Just stop. You know, and I've been teaching my daughter that now. You know, I've been teaching her that for years, trying to wean her to the Lord, because ultimately she's going to have to make that decision one day herself. And so those are things that as I'm teaching her, I should be. If they're coming from my mouth, from my heart, then they should, I need to remember that more sometimes too, because
you're actually leading the way that way.
And,
it really is great to see the background. I mean, so many people, great men and women, have written about prayer, and the more insight you get into what that means in God's book, Chuck wrote an incredible book about prayer. It's great, but the point that it boils down to, usually from the real hook, is to understand that prayer is not to change God, it's to align myself with Him. And so it basically is healthiest for me to think of it as a continual conversation with Him. Everything is, I'm interacting with things around me. Well, He's designed everything around me.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. He designed it so that He can have this conversation with me, mm-hmm. because that's what He made human beings for, was this fellowship that would never end. And it's the extension of what the ancients called the divine dance of Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
they're in this moving thing. They're in this movement of what they're doing, but they're never disconnected. They're never looking out for self-realization. Mm-hmm. They're completely and utterly for each other.
Yeah.
There's no thought of personal promotion or one-upmanship or any of that stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, Jesus illustrated it really well. I mean, you don't mess with the Holy Spirit, man. Because I'll fry your little face.
Vivid.
You know, there's such a
peace. And the Holy Spirit says that does the same thing. I mean, he's gaga over Jesus. So don't fool around with Jesus.
And musicians, we have it tough, I think. Artists in general. Because we tend to be very, a lot of egos in music. There's a lot of that outperforming thing.
There's
that joke about like the guitarists. What do guitarists say when they see other guitarists play? I can do that.
That's right. That's right.
And we have to fight that. That's our flesh. You know, we need to be careful with that.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, just I was going to sum it up with one of my lifetime scripture verses, Psalms 37:4. Mm-hmm. Delight yourself unto the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. And that was the scripture that, when I got saved, I thought, oh, cool, I can just, you know, now that I know the Lord, I can pray, you know, and He'll give me this and give me that, you know.
Yeah.
And but it's what you said, you know, it's exactly your those desires. God works in you to change desires that maybe don't line up with what He's doing in your life.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And you soon begin to see that the more you're in connection with the Spirit, you know, and I just felt. You know, these desires started to leave. You know, these desires, it's just a cleansing. And it's always a refining, even up to now, mm-hmm. you know.
That's
but,
right.
But it was so cool to see that. And He replaces it. He gives the plan that He has. You start to see a little bit more of what He has for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so beautiful you know, to let God do that change.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's no bottom to that well.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He's going to be blowing our minds right through eternity.
That's awesome.
Every time we turn around, He's going to blow our minds with another view of something that we've never seen before.
Yeah, right. We have the tendency of putting the Lord in a box, I think, and taking things into our own hands. And what do? We run into a wall more often than not.
Yeah.
Huh?
We experience joy when we do what you just said.
Yeah.
When we draw from the infinite well, that's just day after day. That seems to be the message of our ministry, at least for the past few years, has been just the difference between joy and happiness. That well does not run dry. Ours do. I mean, we can only do so much.
It just leads to anxiety.
Well,
you know, and
faith.
What does the Bible say about anxiety?
Yeah.
You know,
you taught Eddie said it perfectly. The faith is different because you have. I think people confuse faith with feelings. Like I feel God, so therefore my faith is good.
Yeah.
Well, there's times you don't feel.
Yeah, either that or it's just really intense hope.
Yeah, yeah exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, based on circumstances.
It's faith, hope, and love. But the best is love because that takes all of it.
Yeah.
Mm.
That provides all of it. If it's a mutual, relational, conversational interaction, then you've got all of that mixed in there.
Yeah.
But love is at the top because you can break the relationship by looking at yourself,
mm-hmm.
like you just said. You break the relationship, and I read something this morning in a really old book. It's called Footsteps for Pilgrims, and the people that contributed to it, they just put their initials in at the end of a two or three page thing, that an insert,
mm-hmm.
and people like John Darby, or the contributors. He was one of the translators of the Bible early on,
mm-hmm.
and the other people that we don't know their names, but they were just scary godly people. But it was talking about that very thing, where it's so intense,
mm-hmm.
that we just need to be swallowed up in it, you know, and let ourselves disappear in Him.
Yeah, yeah.
So, is that the wrap for your story?
I think so.
So the point is that it continues to go on.
Oh, yeah.
There's no end to this. We're in, basically, I understand this life as a qualifying stage for the unending one.
That's right.
And
and
the main event is one where we'll be functioning at full function,
mm-hmm.
For the first time.
Yeah.
We don't even know what that looks like.
Right.
But we know that it's already blown our minds to just read the descriptions. But this being the qualifying stage is what creates the kind of fear that you were talking about. because knowing him, you don't want to be drawn away. And that was what the subject of Darby's little insert this morning was. If you're looking at something else, you're being drawn away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the benefits and all the stuff that God has for you is—it's not withdrawn. You just got out of range. You got out of the atmosphere of His presence.
Distracted by whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it's a very fearful thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now the old guy.
The old guy. Yeah. Yeah, this is Walt.
Hi, Walt.
Hey, buddy. So, it's interesting. Kind of an extension to faith is basically trusting in the Lord. That's been my issue all along. And you mentioned it continues, you know, faith. You know, coming from a consistency of work before venturing into ministry full-time, it was a tough thing for me to let go.
Hmm.
You know, my brothers had already been walking with the Lord for a little over a year. The ministry had been established, and they asked me to come along and be a part of it. And it was good in that I was learning about the Lord, diving into the Bible and such, and growing, attending Bible studies. And then came a point where the Lord opened up a door for the ministry to venture in full time. And I had a tough time, reluctant. I had my job and pension accumulating, and I went ahead and ventured in. I was led to do it. You know, I went kicking and screaming. You know, I love music, so that was definitely something that the Lord used to help facilitate and push me along. You know,
mm-hmm.
And once I got in, I. Not knowing what was around the corner, I began to see the Lord's hand on the ministry and His provision. He's always provided our daily bread, you know.
Yeah.
And He did it, early on. And being the one who, we all have our responsibilities within the ministry, and mm-hmm. I being one who helps with bookings and the bookkeeping and such,
yeah.
I could see what we had and what we didn't have up and coming.
Yeah.
You know, I'm always liking 6 months down the line, you know.
Yeah,
<right. laughs> and then before you know it, it's 2 months down the line. It's like,
right.
What's going to happen here?
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord would just provide instantaneously, you know, at that given moment, to a T.
Yeah, yeah.
Our needs. And He's been doing that all along.
Yeah.
Over the course of, 20 plus years, ministry. And I believe He's utilized that to keep me at His feet and relying and trusting
yes.
in Him.
Yes.
Because it's very easy for one to say, I don't think I want to be a part of this anymore. I'm going to go off and do something else and
yeah.
avoid and miss your calling.
Yeah, it's sad to watch that happen.
Yeah.
It happens a lot.
It does. It does.
Yeah.
Yes.
And what happens, I think a lot of times when people do that, it's like there's a saying, it's like wherever you go, there you are. So, you can say, well, this doesn't sound good. I'm nervous. I'm worried
yeah.
about this. You go somewhere else. If you have that same mentality, you're going to take in whatever you do.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I think we all like the idea of doing things. But when we actually do them, we realize, because we lived in Nashville for a while, and he's talking about the venturing off in faith thing. And we signed with a record label, EMI Christian, in Nashville in 95. Mm-hmm. And we recorded in 96. And we're like, oh, this is good. I love let's move to Nashville. We think this is so good. But then when I realized, God used it and it was a great time, but after a few months, I realized I think I was more excited about the idea of moving to Nashville rather than actually being in Nashville myself.
Talk about a little fish.
Yeah. But it was like, we had our 15 minutes in the sun there, and then that, went away. And then it was like, well, what was floating my boat to begin with? Was it truly?
There you go.
Was I excited about the idea of this, or
yeah.
that's where trusting in the Lord.
The boat has holes in the hull, so
yeah.
you start to realize what made it float.
Yeah. But even moving out there, though, you know, I think, you know, there were songs that were already on radio, and we were using Nashville as a hub, so we'd fly in and we'd kind of tour around, and we did that pretty continuously for like 7-8 months, and so we were kind of away from our families here in California. So we decided, let's just all move there, you know, and we did, and brought our family, or moved, and then we were there for a while, and it was like the place to be at the time, and that may have been I think it's an appointment from the Lord. We needed to be
absolutely.
There. Absolutely. Or else we would have missed out on a lot of opportunities.
True.
I'm telling you, just to minister,
and
to promote what I said, we promote Jesus, you know, and even though there was a business aspect to this, you know, we were, and you know, coming out of the world. And then shortly getting signed, and it wasn't something we were looking for. It just people approached us, and so I just wanted to preface that too, because it wasn't something we were looking for. I'd already stopped the desire. Okay, well, you know what? If music is not it for me, then, you know, I was working at a doctor's office. I was fine there too. I had a little pension too, and I didn't have the luxury of having to decide. I was just let go. You know, I was there for 12 years, and I was let go.
You go now.
So I was let go. But anyhow, you know, there's so many opportunities. And what I was going to say is that also, you know, those times when Walt was talking about just that, do I just jump board now and you know, get something, a little whatever I need to do? And when we do that, I think if we would have done that, any one of us, we would have missed out on just opportunities.
Totally. The Lord actually was there with us on this decision. I mean, I think we actually were listening to God at that time, because a lot of bands move to Nashville
to get a deal, to move, and
scout, and we didn't do that. We actually were doing what Walt was just saying. We were actually trusting in the Lord. We were just waiting to see what He was going to do, and they came to us, and they were already releasing singles, but we were still in California, and so we went, like you said, kind of kicking and screaming, because it's like, well, this is Southern California. This is home for us. We have our, you know, this is like what we love to do. I know a lot of pastors who don't even like to start churches because they feel like they're afraid to do it. Those are usually great pastors, rather than the ones who say, I'm going to go start a church and watch what I can do.
Yeah.
You know, we went there, and I love to share this, because if there's, you know, any young musicians listening, or anybody that's thinking about trying to do this, you know, let the Lord lead.
Just pay attention
watch what He wants to do, because that actually was a great experience for us.
It was
a great experience, and there's no regrets.
We just
He was, like one of our songs says, we just walk one step behind. As I walk one step behind, we can't get ahead of the Lord. You know,
that's right.
I mean, in summation, it's really been good in that I've been able to share these wonderful experiences with my boys as far as God's provision. And they've seen it.
That's a college education.
It really is, and it's fortified their walks in trusting in the Lord.
I thought you mean us being your boys.
You guys are my boys too. Of course you are. But my sons Noah and Nico, you know, so it's been good in that regard. And to have a wife to come alongside that is just, that's priceless, who supports what you do and prays for you. It's an amazing thing, you know. Not to mention accountability. I don't know that I'd be walking, I don't know that any one of us here in the room would be walking as closely with the Lord. You know what I'm saying? So we're thankful that the Lord impressed upon us to follow our callings and do what we do today. You know?
Yes.
Pastor Chuck's old adage was, if God guides, God provides. That may sound trite, it may sound simplistic, whatever, but that is truth, bro.
He's going to show Himself true to His promises. That will get deeper and deeper the older we get. Because we think we got it right now. There's going to be a turn in the road next week where we know we don't have it. Now, do you believe my promises that I'm going to never leave you or forsake you? And that you'll never learn something I've forgotten. You'll never see something I didn't actually design for you. So that sinks deeper and deeper into our souls until we think we've graduated, but then next there's always next
yeah.
week.
Yeah, amen. Yeah. That's okay. a good word, bro.
It's the term, the yeah. walk.
That's yeah. it. Yeah, you look back and you see a track record, you know? Even when you're, like you said, next week will come and something happens and your mind might race a little bit, you know? But then it's like you feel this nudge on your side, and hey, mm-hmm. you know, and you, oh yeah, you remember, you know, gosh, you've been so faithful, you know, why
yeah.
why am I?
You know, like for example, the dynamics involved in a ministry, you know, three
mm.
brothers.
Yeah.
You know, we could let each other have it. You
yeah.
know, that's just being real. You know, that in itself has taught us how to work with one another.
Yeah.
You know, respect boundaries and at the same time also understand, okay, Eddie's wired a certain way, Renato
mm-hmm.
is, Walt is.
Yeah.
You know, how can we rise above, you know, when we get to that
yeah.
moment of maybe a heated debate or something, you know.
Yeah.
And remember that ultimately, hey, we're serving a
yeah.
purpose here.
Instead of vying for the top voice, you realize, wow, the Lord made Renato too, didn't he?
So selfish.
He made him just like that. Yeah. So, and that's a part of who I am and a part of who Eddie is. And so how can we kill each other off? I mean, we're killing ourselves.
You're right. Otherwise, it wouldn't work.
It
yeah,
would
yeah.
not work.
Yeah, we did a great Bible study many years back now. Our accountability pastor in Georgia, when we were living in Nashville at the time, there was this church down in Greensboro.
Yeah.
Pastor Stan Patterson, just this guy is just, he loved on us, and
mm-hmm.
he just kind of took us under his wing. And what kind of discipleship are you guys having when you're on the road? Who's
yeah.
keeping you guys accountable? What's going on? And
huh?
just,
yeah. How do you spell that?
Right. Someone who actually cared enough to say these things. And,
yeah.
and he, anyways, he
with
put
a nice
us,
Southern Gentile accent.
He put us through
yeah.
a Bible study. He gave us these booklets, and there was one called The Disciples' Personality.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what it was about, how the different personalities of each disciple.
Yeah.
They have. We all have, you know, different mechanisms,
yep.
different tools. Again, in the tool belt, you know, some are nails,
mm-hmm.
some are sanders, some are, you know, then you have the dynamite to break up, you know, concrete before you put in rebar.
Yep.
There's just so many different personalities that the Lord has, and it's awesome.
It is.
It's so cool to see how that works.
But you can't see it
mm-hmm.
until the Holy Spirit shows up.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't see
right.
the value.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're only looking in your mirrored bubble,
right? Right.
At yourself.
The study
right.
goes on to talk about how you recognize what that gift is. Don't get rid of it, but now let the Holy Spirit surround it and use it
and integrate
to
it.
To temper
it's like
to
a
temper.
Puzzle. It's like a puzzle, you know.
Yeah, it is.
It's amazing,
it is.
And the
but a living one.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the parallel there is, you know, the ministry here with my brothers, and you look at the body of Christ within the church. You know, we talked about this whole thing of separation. You know, you've got
mm-hmm.
the people in the pews who are just there to attend maybe on Sunday, you know, forget midweek study, you know, and then you've got pastoralship, and you've got the music ministers, when all in all, as you mentioned, everyone has a role.
Yeah.
And you know, we're gonna have to at times have a pastor friend who uses the analogy of porcupines, you know,
mm-hmm.
a bunch of porcupines.
Yeah,
and
that's good.
You know, we need to kind of just work in with one another and just make it happen. You
that's
know,
right.
Find our roles and love
yeah.
on one another.
Try not to kill each other.
Yeah, yeah, that's real.
So you got a song about not killing each other?
Oh,
it
yeah.
It was something like this.
Yeah, but you could write it. Or a song about it when it hit.
Yeah. Better turn the mics down. Here it comes.
Here we go. Oh, Terry, all these experiences, man. This the refining fire, the processes that we go through.
Mm.
As we go older, you know, these are the things that that I think are the richness that the ministry
oh, absolutely.
Has. That people, when people see something that they like, it's because they're seeing the Lord. They're seeing God work through all
yeah.
this stuff. There's just there's experience. All this happens with experience. It happens with
yeah.
time. It's interesting though. I don't understand why the Lord, you know, chose it. I'm sure someday He'll explain it to us. But when we were brand new Christians, I was only 22, 23, 24 at the time when we were doing like the biggest stuff we ever did. We were in front of more people
mm-hmm.
at the time. And I didn't know Jack, but then I'm thinking maybe that's exactly what he wanted.
That's exactly
he's
what
like,
he
you
wanted.
Know what? You
that's
don't know
what
anything.
He uses.
Exactly. You don't know anything. So, but it's just interesting because like you know you got all this information now. You got all this knowledge, and you think
yeah.
But maybe, I don't know, maybe sometimes that information, that knowledge, you know, is what the Lord wants to maybe, you know, not you to do, you know, for
them. Yeah, so. Well, it's interesting mm-hmm. that it's not an easy thing to get inside of what made those principles mm-hmm. so important. But it was the conversation underneath mm-hmm. with the Lord, the interaction with Him. We develop these eternal principles mm-hmm. out of those private, and most of us don't even hear the conversation going on. It's our spirit being drawn mm-hmm. by His Spirit. And that conversation is going on all the time. And it does help. And this is why my first thing was about the conversation was, it does help to take the generality of the principle and crack it open mm. for people.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I can remember what the Lord said to me and what my reaction was and how His Spirit brought me around to where I really understood what He meant. And if I can crack that open for somebody
yeah.
that's listening,
mm-hmm.
that's His joy.
Mm-hmm.
And all of heaven is partying,
yeah.
you know, when we get it, or when we humble ourselves,
mm-hmm.
when we get that little message from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And it's the same one Jesus always says. If there's a question, there's a problem, He says, come here. Just come here.
I've got this. Yeah.
I think between, amen, man. I think between Eddie's testimony of realizing what faith meant versus my, you know, having to just get off of the drafting board and let the Lord be the one who's in charge
yeah.
and humbling myself.
Yeah.
And Walter trusting in God, that God's going to provide.
Yeah.
These are all different walks that we've been on.
That's right.
But together, the Lord, He just uses it. He uses
yeah.
that, those vulnerabilities,
mm-hmm.
those scars that we have.
Yeah.
Continue, and it just blows my mind how awesome God is, how faithful. When somebody can walk up to us after we're done singing a song, whatever, and they just go like, wow. No, they don't have to say anything.
No.
We just bear witness.
You
need a hug.
Yeah.
Let's hug, man.
You know,
something. Yeah, I didn't realize
touched,
that in my twenties.
Yeah.
I didn't get that.
Touched a chord that got tuned up.
That's it.
It's like, and that's what you probably noticed. We always refer to the audience as a familia. We
mm-hmm.
always do that because
yeah.
we're family, and we see the importance of family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Many people don't have that, and
right.
They need to know
they
belong.
They long for it, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're looking for it. We all are looking for it. Once the Lord touches that little chord in the inside, it ruins you for everything the world has.
Yeah.
Well,
that's awesome.
I know you have another song.
Oh, we got them all day.
Yeah, we touched on love. It's 'cause you love me.
Mm.
That was one that was on my mind. I thought of walking on the water, but I thought, well,
yeah.
you know, but it's 'cause you love me might be nice.
It's a nice, quiet, mellow version of that. This is a song just let people know that as far as the east is from the west, that's how much our God loves us. And we can only love each other so much, even as brothers, husbands and wives, children, we all dig each other, and that's all good and well. But the love we're looking for is not going to be found in a person to your left or to your right. The longing of your soul, that eternal longing, can only be found through an eternal God. And that's through Christ Jesus. That's what this song is about.
You love
and so we just have to steward the things that he puts in our hands to do, and not forget to look up, because we'll run into the wall.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah.
So, God bless you guys.
You too.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Terry.